It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps.
Isn't it great when your computer wants to update while you're in the middle of reading something that's on the screen? Oh, by the way, update your computer. Okay, thanks. I just wanted to share that moment with you.
Apparently you did.
It's Murphy's Law.
Congratulations to the Guardians. A fun season is going to continue. Their magic number one to get into the playoffs. It could happen today. They have an afternoon game against those pesky Minnesota Twins. So here you go. We're just here to help. Wait a minute. What's everybody making faces for?
We're not. We're just looking at you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here you go. You guys looked around like there was big trouble.
No.
Not big trouble?
Never.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. Yesterday we helped out Stephen Vogt with the starting rotation for the playoffs. Okay? I think it's only right that we look at the position players and take care of that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're here to help.
I think that's the way to go. So let's take a look at this thing.
Okay.
I don't think there's any question at all what happens at catcher and around the infield.
Fair.
Your playoff lineup probably stays intact. Bo Naylor's going to be your catcher. Maybe Austin Hedges, late inning replacement, something like that. I would think you're going to play Bo righty-lefty. It's not going to matter. At first base, I'm just putting Josh Naylor there and leaving him alone. That's enough said. Andrés Giménez at second. Obviously, Jose at third. And I think Brian Rocchio, just leave him alone at shortstop. You want his glove in the playoffs.
Right.
And his bat's warmed up a little bit.
Right.
So I think that's just business as usual. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah. No, I can't disagree with any of that. It's kind of what got you here now. The outfield's a big question. So.
Yes. Right. There are some thoughts. Let's start in center field, because I don't think there's a question there anymore.
No, it's easy. It's Lane Thomas. Right?
You put him there and you leave him alone, don't you?
Until late in the game, and you might move him over for
a defensive replacement.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know that I'm taking him out of lineup.
When Lane showed up here, he was pumped. He was excited. He ended up hitting 143 in August with no home runs and three runs batted in. It was awful. The poor guy was pressing like crazy. It wasn't going well. Since then, in September, he's hit 297 in September with five home runs, team leading, and team leading 16 runs batted in. So he's led the team in September in both home runs and runs batted in. And the 16 for the runs batted in, Andy, doubles up the next guy in runs batted in.
Yeah.
Second on that list is, are you sitting? I believe that you are.
I am.
Brian Rocchio.
Really?
Second in September for the Guardians with eight runs batted in. But 16 for Lane Thomas. He has done everything in September the team was hoping that he would do, and they traded for him. It looks like a trade that's going to benefit the team now. You couldn't say that, you know, through August. But here in September, he has shown exactly what the Guardians wanted. Put him in center field and leave him alone. Damn. Unless you want to do something like you talked about, late inning defensive replacement.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Straw is probably your guy for 7, 8, or 9 inning. You know, maybe
although you could leave Lane in center and put Miles somewhere else, but
maybe. But I
would think you'd do it the other way.
Were you the one that when we first acquired Lane Thomas, that we're like, I don't know if he's really a center fielder? I remember here. It was you. Okay,
he's a bit of an adventure out there.
Has it felt that way since he's been here?
Shifting has helped him, but he's still a bit of an adventure. He's fast as all get out.
Yeah.
It should work out there, but it's an adventure.
All right, so your thoughts on Straw coming in 7, 8, 9, defensive replacement, and because you're not going to take Thomas's bat out, so you're going to have to switch one of your side outfielders.
I'd rather stick Miles in right or move Lane Thomas to right and have, you know, Miles Straw end up being in center field. I'm not taking Steven Kwan out. I would rather whoever's in right.
Hold on now.
Yeah, but I'm not taking Noel out.
You guys are lumping it all together.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about defensive replacements until we figure out who's starting.
Oh, well.
In left field.
I'm out of the box.
What if Steven Kwan doesn't heal up? Steven's been bad. In September, he's hit 167. He's on the injured list now with his back. It's obviously affected him like crazy. After his phenomenal start, he's not been good. If he's healthy, if he comes off the IL and they say he's the guy, he's healthy, do you just put him in left field and call it a day?
I don't know how you don't.
I agree with you. I do too. I just put him there. However, if he's not healthy, what are you going to do? Angel Martinez has come up. He's not had a big sample size, only 18 at-bats, but he's hitting .389.
He's got 33 hits.
Since they brought him back. He's at .389 here in September since they called him back up. He's an option. But I would think Stephen Kwan, if he's healthy, if he comes off the injured list, if the back is deemed okay, you just put him in left field, you lead him off, and you forget about it. Yes?
Yes. I can't argue with that at all. If Kwan's healthy, you got to go. He's the guy that got you there in the beginning of the season, too. He was. And even though he was hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back from being hurt, and you're like, wow, this guy's on fire. And then things kind of evened out, and now he's hurt. And so you want just let's get him healthy here. Just relax, chill out, go take an ice bath for about a week or two, and then come on back and feel good.
I do think there are questions in right field. And I'm just going to do this. I'm playing Jenkenzie Noel out there, period. And I say that for this reason. He scares other teams.
Sure.
Now, Will Brennan has been terrific since he was put down in Columbus, and since he's come back. Since he's back, he's hit .314. And you could platoon him with Noel. But I mentioned this earlier. Brennan hasn't hit a home run since June 20th. In September, he's hitting .345. The guy's going nuts right now.
I know. Do you need a home run when you can come up with a big hit like he did yesterday?
Well, that's part of the point. But if you put him in right field, that probably means you're putting Jenkenzie Noel on the bench. And if you want to think straight platoon, you could think that except for one thing. Noel's not bad against right-handed pitching. .220, power numbers, 6 homers, 14 runs batted in. And that's in 109 at-bats against righties. Against lefties, his power numbers are exactly the same almost. Instead of 6 home runs against righties, he has 7 against lefties in half as many at-bats. In 54 at-bats. So obviously, he's more impactful against left-handers, but he's certainly not atrocious against righties. And Will Brennan is not good against left-handed pitching. 147, no home runs, only 34 at-bats. They don't play him against lefties.
Sure.
Almost never. So I would avoid a platoon. I just don't think I want to take Noel out of the lineup. Do you?
I didn't want to take him out during any game during the regular season. So I'm leaving him there. I have no
problem. You're leaving Noel out there?
Yes.
And what are you going to do with Will?
He's come in late. Pinch hit.
Okay.
Yeah, hitter? It's just...
Matchup pinch hitter, maybe?
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that? You give him the opportunity there.
He hits right-handers pretty well, .269. But against lefties, I mean, you're not going to pinch hit him against a lefty, obviously. But if he's hitting .269... against right-handed pitching, and Noel is hitting .220, but has a lot more to show for his at-bats. Man, I think I'm still playing Noel. I don't want to lift Jenkenzie out of that spot.
The other thing with Brennan is that take advantage of the fact that you know you can't pull a pitcher, right? Take advantage of that rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know, well, they got it right. Okay, so
which,
now we
by
know,
the way, you don't really even notice in a game, do you?
I don't know, but I mean, I know it because I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want to see if somebody tries to pull somebody early. I don't know why. I'm sure it's happened, don't you think?
Somebody snuck somebody out of
there? I'm sure that it's happened somewhere along the way.
Somebody will try.
Yeah.
That leaves us
sneaking
DH.
Down into the empty seats that are
So we've got Thomas in center. We have Kwan in left if he's healthy and good to go. And we have Noel in right with maybe an occasional Will Brennan playing against maybe a really tough righty or something like that if for whatever reason they think Noel's not a good matchup against a certain right-handed hitter.
Sure.
But if it's a lefty, he's in there, period. And to me, he's in there against righties as well. So that's it.
Doesn't it seem weird, though, that we do have all these question marks about a team that is still
fighting for the... Well, the outfield's still a question.
Yeah, they're still fighting for the top spot in the American League, and we have all these question marks going on.
The only one that's not really a question is the guy they traded for the trade deadline, Lane Thomas, and he was a huge question until September, and now he's not. This leaves us at DH. Kyle Manzardo, since he's come up, it's only 39 at-bats, but he's hitting .308. This, to me, screams platoon. But I'm not sure it's the best platoon you can have.
I don't know. Every time I see him get to the plate now, even on even like last night, you know, chopping at the ball, whatever, it seems that his hits seem to find the outfield now, even if they're just kind of chop shots out into the outfield. And maybe it's just me, but when I watch, maybe I need to watch him more so he can have a hit every time, because every time I flip it over to the game where I'm watching, he always seems to get a hit.
Well, he's had some pop here in September at 308 since he's come up with three home runs, his first three home runs. You're not going to play him against lefties, Andy. He's hitting 167. So to me, DH is a straight platoon. Against righties, he's at 252.
I have a right-handed TV, so that's probably why it's happening.
Are you going to play David Fry? And David was...
How healthy is he?
This team isn't where... I don't know. This team isn't where it is without David this year. He's been tremendous. However, his average is way down. In September, he's hitting 200. I mean, he's not been very impactful. He's kind of limping to the finish line with that injury. Mm-hmm. His splits are kind of even. Against lefties, better at 280. So you could do a platoon with him and with Manzardo. And against righties, he's at 245. I would think it's Manzardo and Fry platooning at DH. It seems pretty simple. Yay? Nay?
Yeah. I think it's more Manzardo now, though. Kid's hot. Stay with what's hot. I just ride that wave, baby. Ride the wave.
We'll get some thoughts on this from a guy who won a lot of gold gloves and entertained us like crazy. Shortstop Omar Vizquel joining us next here on Baskin and Phelps Line. He's the gold glove winner. He was the engine that I thought drove so many great Indians teams
vroom, vroom.
Right there at Jacobs Field back in the day. Mr. Omar Vizquel joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Omar.
Omar.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, good.
Going to be a celebration in the clubhouse, maybe today, if the Guardians can win, clinch a playoff spot. What was it like when, and your teams here with the Indians, most of them were pretty likely to make the playoffs. You know, you guys were built for the postseason. This team probably wasn't. What's it like when a team like that gets into the postseason, Omar?
Well, I think there's really a special celebration. You know, coming into spring training, I know there were a lot of questions. Are we going to have a chance to make it to the playoff? What kind of team are we going to have? Are these guys are going to respond to the challenge? There were a lot of questions. It's not like you're coming into spring training ready and you say, okay, we have the best team in the league. We're going to be there. No matter what happened, we're going to find the course and we're going to make it to the playoffs. You know, these Guardian teams have a lot of questions, and I think they have been up to the challenge. The manager, Steven Bogg, has done a great job to getting everybody together, replacing Terry Francona, and getting the job done. And, you know, you take a look at the pitching staff, which is one of the most important things that you have in a baseball team, when Bieber came out. And then McKenzie was another one that was in the DL for a while. And, you know, all the things that they have to go through and play consistent baseball throughout the year has been amazing for them. You know, they have been together since the beginning. The bullpen, obviously, is one of the reasons why they're there right now. I think we got to give him a lot of credit to these guys. I think the last time I checked was like 65-2 when they lead in after the seventh inning. I mean, there's something really, really good that they built there. And everybody really has been on board to play good games. And they really have to feel very satisfied and very proud of the job that they has been doing. We have to give it to the front office, who has been moving pieces and finding the right people to get the job done. And they really respond. I think that they have to feel really excited about tonight.
Omar, can a bullpen-heavy team, like the bullpen has carried this team when it's needed to be carried all season, can a bullpen-heavy team take a team through the playoffs?
Well, you know, when you go to the playoff, there is more than a bullpen. You have to really move all the pieces. You know, the offense have to respond. We know that there has been struggle to score some runs lately, and that's going to be one of the reasons that they have to play better ball. They have been doing it, playing leader baseball with moving the guys on. I know they're very aggressive on the bases, and you know, all those things have to fall into places. It's great that you have one of the best, or I say the best bullpen in baseball, but they also have to score some runs. That's going to be the biggest question for them.
Omar Vizquel joining us. Omar, Andy and I yesterday kind of looked at the rotation and what we thought might be helpful in the postseason, how you go about maybe putting it together with the guys that the Guardians have right now. Today we looked at the position player lineups. I want you to tap into your managerial background. If you're putting together a postseason lineup, do you look at matchups? Do you look at the guys who have been with you all year, who, you know, have been your mainstays? Do you look at hot guys? Do you look at platoons? What goes into that?
Well, a lot of the modern baseball now, you know, they have been playing a lot of matchups. You know, guys that respond to different teams or different pitching staff, and they're given the opportunity to perform on under those circumstances. I know in old baseball, the baseball that we used to play, you only have one lineup, and you always play the lineup no matter what. But in this baseball that we're seeing right now, they're giving so many opportunities to guys that you know, are having good success against particular pitchers. And I don't know if they have been using that during the whole year, but I know that the manager Steven Bogg and their coaching staff are gonna be answering those questions as far as they go into the playoff. They got a game plan, and I think they're gonna stick with it, and you know, find the right formula for them to get the win.
Sorry, Omar. It's kind of, I don't know, it's weird, not a weird question, but if you would you rather be a young player who doesn't really have to, doesn't like understand what the playoffs are? Would you rather be young and naive in the playoffs, or would you rather be old and grizzly, you know, an old grizzly veteran going into the playoffs? I think sometimes when you're younger, you just don't know any better sometimes, and you can play freer without some kind of pressure. I don't, if you think I'm an idiot for the question, just go, Andy. As always, you're an idiot. But I'm just,
go ahead, Omar.
Please do. Yeah, I'm just curious. Would you rather be, I guess, young and dumb or old and wise?
Well, you know, actually, there's no such a thing of a stupid question or a stupid analyzing.
Okay.
Since we're running into all these new, you know, techniques, I would say, or the way that they put the roster together, or the way that you get a player into these things. So, you know, anything right now has an answer. Everything that you do, why you take a pitcher out, why do you put this guy here, why do you let this guy hit lead off? I mean, there are so many things right now that the numbers are showing that probably doesn't have to do anything with the lineup and the structure when you put it together. But it's just amazing how all these things that they do now in lineups work out. And maybe we don't know all the numbers. We don't know what they do it sometimes. But if you ask them why, they give you a complete explanation why they do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're running numbers like crazy. They have all these people now that they give you the whole final score even before the game is over. I mean, there is so many things now in baseball that have to do with that we just have to see the game and say, wow, this is crazy.
Would you want to manage in that world right now? Because I mean, Jeff and I talk about this all the time. We talked about it with Brian Anderson too. It seems like there's a lot more influence coming from the front office on everything than that. Like, I can't see and maybe I'm wrong, maybe Grover lived in that world, but I can't see Grover living in that world.
Yeah, I mean, for people that has been in the game for a long time and all of a sudden they try to bring something new to you, it's going to take a little time for you to bite into it and to believe on the system that they're putting in place. You know, for me, when I start coaching and they start bringing all these numbers and all these things, it was hard for me to accept it. But we have to learn how to evolve with the game, because this is how the game is going to. And we've seen a lot of different things in baseball right now that shocked us. The way that we played the game before and the way that he's doing it now is different. And we sometimes we put a question mark. Okay, I don't think this is going to work. And I hear so many baseball players from the past talking about the game nowadays, and you know, it's the same way. Everybody feel like in a rare situation where, wow, I can't believe this guy did this. I can't believe the pitcher told the hitter that don't go to first base because I don't want to face you. I can't believe that. You know, so many things you see now that you don't have a hold on. But like I said, it's a new baseball. It's a new evolution of how things are running right now.
Omar Vizquel joining us. Omar, when we chatted with you last time, we talked a lot about a guy from your city in Venezuela, from Caracas, Brian Rocchio. And you said you liked him. Be patient. We've been patient. He's looking pretty good. What have you seen as this season's gone on?
Yeah, he's getting a little bit more settled. You know, he got the help of his new Andres Jimenez, who is going to be there for a while. And he's kind of like the captain on that field. You know, when you're in the middle of the spot, him and Jose Ramirez being next to him, I think he have to feel pretty comfortable about what he sees around him. Now he got more confidence on himself. I know that he can hit. I don't know why he got there and he struggled so much, because I knew that he got pretty good talent, and he had a great year here in Venezuela. He showed it to everybody that he can be a big leaguer. And things are going better for him. We're wishing all the luck in the world to stay there. We know defensively he has been amazing. And one of the reasons why that defense is the way it is very good, and helping the pitching staff. So, you know, we all have to wait to see if he can just have a great playoff and maybe show everybody that he can be there.
All right, Omar. It looks like, you know, the Guardians are going to be able to clinch as early as today, and that'll get them a playoff spot. And then they still have a chance, a great shot at winning the Central. Champagne for both events? Or do you wait and roll with it and wait till you do the Central? Do you do champagne for both?
No, you have to have a little champagne. Why not? Because you know, like we talked in the beginning, man, it's been a long way, you know, and a lot of question mark. But they respond, and they have to feel pretty proud about the team that they have, the things that how the things has been developed throughout the month to month. Even just I would say a couple of weeks ago, when they has been chased by Kansas City, they were only like two games behind them, and all of a sudden, you know, they start playing good baseball again, and now they're five games ahead again. So, you know, it's been great, man. There is a lot of for them to celebrate.
How sweet is it to be able to pour that champagne?
It's awesome, especially when you don't think that you have the team to get there. You know, it's not like in the 90s where you say, oh, we're coming to Cleveland, we're going to get our ass kicked no matter what. You know, you see like the lineup, man, with Kenny and Carlos and Albert Bell and Sorrento and Eddie Murray. I mean, you know you're going to get demolished by us. And, you know, and here is a different case. You know, they have been putting the pieces together like a puzzle, and here they are. They're in the playoff again. And, you know, it's not a team that spent a lot of money on the time when there was a deadline. They didn't make like a big impact on the people that they brought in. But I think they were really cautious on how to spend the money and how to put their pieces together. So it's been great, man. Every year, you know, you take a look at the team and you say, you don't have like a big guy that make an impact. I would say Jose Ramirez is probably the guy that bring the most attention. And he's the quiet guy, you know, he's not a guy that say much, but when you take a look at this guy's number, it's like, wow, this guy can be one of those, you know, compared to Juan Soto or one of the big stars that you always talk about in the beginning of the season.
Omar, great to have you with us. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Omar. Let's get a playoff. Let's talk playoffs here in a couple weeks.
Thank you, guys. And, you know, let's go Guardians, man. Always supporting the team. I'm always watching what's going on with them. And, you know, always pushing for them. And it's going to be a great year for the Guardians.
Talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you, Omar.
Thank you, guys. Thank
Omar you. Joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. They can do it today. They could do it today. What kind of a lineup is Stephen Vogt rolling out for this one? That's coming up on Baskin and Phelps. It's going to be great. I always wondered about that. dude just gets done driving 500 miles in a suit that's making him sweat like crazy on a hot day on hot pavement, and you make him drink milk.
You know who else drinks milk after championships?
Tell me.
State champions in the state of Ohio. Same deal. They get milk right after the game, chocolate milk. They hand it out there. It's one
of the
sponsors.
That's chocolate milk. That's supposed to be like a nutritional boost after you play a sport.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. It is a tradition. I mean, like
hot, sweaty
Ohio only
drivers, and then you're pouring milk down your throat and then all over the top of your head.
I don't know. It tastes
that's
sweet.
That's a bad
after
day.
Victory, everything tastes sweet.
That's heavy, Andy.
Thank you.
That's heavy.
Give me that Warner Borg every time, baby.
Can the Guardians do it today? Well, let's find out, because this is the crew that they'll be throwing at the Twins.
Here is your starting nine, brought to you by Bet365 and KC Roofing. From a hole in your roof to a whole new roof.
All right, gentlemen, here's the starting nine for your Guardians today. The 1-10 pitch at Progressive Field. Hitting leadoff, playing in left field, Angel Martinez. Hitting second today, the designated hitter, Kyle Manzardo, and his phenomenal mustache.
He's hitting second.
He is hitting second.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hitting third today, the third baseman, Jose Ramirez. Playing first base, hitting fourth, Josh Naylor. Lane Thomas, the center fielder, will be hitting fifth. Andres Jimenez, the second baseman, hitting sixth today. Hitting seventh, Jeanquenzie Noel will be patrolling right field. Shortstop today, Brian Rocchio. He'll be hitting eighth. And the catcher, Austin Hedges, will be hitting ninth for your Cleveland Guardians as they look to bring home a playoff-clinching win. Joey Cantillo on the hill for the Guards today. And that, gentlemen, is your starting lineup. So.
And that was your starting nine, brought to you by Bet365 and KC Roofing. From a hole in your roof to a whole new roof.
I always forget you have to play that at the end. I was ready to jump right in. So let's do some math here, okay?
Okay. I just a couple things I want to talk to you about. Do the math first, then I'll tell you.
If they clinch today, champagne.
Yes.
If you clinch the division, more champagne?
Yeah. And?
If you clinch your division, then, and if you win your first round series, more champagne?
I can add a third to not even getting to the playoffs. Get in, right? So now you're in the playoffs, champagne. You win the Central. That's champagne. And what happens if you overtake the Yankees? And
are the top team? That's not champagne.
I think they should give a trophy for the top team during the regular season. Don't you think you should win a trophy for best record in the American League? That's harder.
It's harder than winning the World Series once you get in.
Don't you think they should give a trophy for that?
Big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. It's harder to have the best record in the American or National League than it is to win the World Series.
Isn't just knowing that you had the best record enough? Do you actually need a piece of hardware for it?
It's just an honor. It's just an honor.
All right, so if
I would think if anybody I know that would argue that point, it would be you.
I just don't think it's worth a trophy. I don't know. I mean, it's
a statue, perhaps?
To me, it's the biggest thing. It tells you which team was the best team. But that's not the way we reward a champion, you know? I mean, if you want to like a Silver Slugger award for best record or something, whatever. Okay, that'd be fine. So I'm counting champagne celebrations. Today, maybe, for wild card, you clinch your postseason.
Right.
And then division. If you win your first round series, you do another champagne?
Yep, they do it, don't they?
If you win the ALCS, you get another. So you could have five champagne celebrations.
You win the World Series.
Yeah, that's five.
Oh, I thought that would be six.
Isn't that a little much?
No.
I would almost think you clinch a playoff spot, boom, you do it. And maybe then if you go to the World Series, you win the American League Championship, boom, there's another one. And if you win the World Series, I'm going with three. To me, you win your first round playoff series. That's nothing to throw. That's nothing to throw champagne around the room for.
I'll be honest.
Business. You're, come on, here we go.
Truthfully,
this is business.
I think you should just do it twice. One, when you win the Central.
And not even two, getting into the playoffs?
Nope.
Okay.
When you win the Central, and that should series? Be one. And the World Series, that's two.
Andy Baskin, I'm surprised at you.
No,
I commend you.
You need to aim higher.
I commend you.
Now, I could understand
American League champion is a big deal, though.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
I mean, just because they give you a trophy for it.
Getting to the World Series is a big deal. You get a trophy for the American League.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's neat. It's got all those little flags on it.
I think so. Jack is in Solon. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Good afternoon. A trophy? You're talking about a trophy?
Yeah.
Like a participation trophy?
No. Like, is it? But is it a participation trophy? Like, I'm kind of arguing both sides of the coin here. If you have the best record in the American League through 162, is that harder than winning the World Series?
It's hard to say because usually the winner of the World Series is the one who gets hot at the end, and that's my point about this lineup that you're trotting out there. You had mentioned put John Kenzie Noel in right field. Well, he's Oscar Gonzalez part deux.
Good. And, good, Jack. And, good. And Oscar could hit.
Well, here's the thing. They've figured Noel out. I don't know if he's intelligent enough to figure them back out because that's what good hitters do. It's a give and take.
That's all part of the process. Why wouldn't he be?
It's about making adjustments.
They don't need to throw him strikes. They figured that out. Look, here's the thing. I don't think you should have a set lineup for the automatic outs that are in the lineup. I think you need to go with who's hot. Look, we have enough automatic outs. Our catchers are automatic outs.
Mm-hmm.
Our shortstop is an automatic out until late in the game, but he's pretty clutch at the end. I think the bottom line
is hitting a little better too.
Our stars have to be stars in the playoffs, and vote has to go with the hot hand, whoever that's going to be, and we don't even know who that's going to be yet. That's how you win. And so I feel really good about our chances only because vote's going to make it a very short game. If we get the lead after four innings, I feel pretty good about our chances. Our bullpen is lights out. We just have to limit. I just hope we have some power in the playoffs because you know that's what it's all about in the playoffs. I really do fear playing the Yankees or the Astros, but that's going to be our – if the Astros win, they're around probably against the Twins, although the Twins are collapsing. Whether the Astros play the Twins or the Tigers, we get the winner of that because it doesn't switch. Because if the Yankees get the number one seed, they will play a wild card team regardless. They don't get a division winner. So we're probably going to get the winner of the Astros and probably the Twins. God, I hope the Twins can get hot and knock off the Astros because the Astros always give us a problem.
That last series is looming large, isn't it?
Jack, you okay with just putting Lane Thomas in center and forgetting about it the way he's played in September?
Thomas is fine. He's come around. But right field, you can't stick Noel out there every day. You know, maybe spot him. See who's hot. I really hope Kwan comes back.
And he's really hot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think we got a shot only because our bullpen is lights out. It makes it a 4 or 5 inning game. I'm really excited about it.
Jack, thank you.
Thank you.
So are Andy and me. We're pumped.
I had this thought while we were talking to Omar about the playoffs. And I mean, do you remember when they made it 95? Man, it was this giant weight that was just lifted off the city. Would you agree with that?
It was a tear-provoking moment.
Because it was a generational win?
Never happened.
In our lifetime.
Never happened.
Yeah. I keep thinking
about it. First time in my lifetime that our baseball team did anything.
I think about that big gap there. Do you know how many times they've been back to the playoffs since 95?
How about 15?
Close. This will be 14 after they clinch today.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. And you think about how, like, I think about how, I mean, this sounds really old, but think about how we struggled when we were kids and it was the American League East and there was no way we were getting past the Yankees and the Red Sox. It just wasn't going to happen.
And the Orioles.
And Baltimore and the Tigers or everybody. Remember, the only reason.
The Blue Jays, they don't stink.
And it was the only reason we were having an Indian uprising with Joe Carter and Corey Snyder is because we hadn't won. We were the only team that hadn't won. And now you think about it, like, I just, because of the extra playoff spots, because of the realignment, you know, we just take it for granted that we go to the postseason. It's fascinating to me to kind of look at the history there.
We have a lot of smart people join us on the show. Maybe no one smarter than the lady who's going to join us next. Cynthia Freeland, NFL.com, coming up on Baskin and Phelps.